AT&T customers in Skagway lose landline and cell service today. And filing periods are approaching for October municipal elections in Haines and Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Greta Mart. Those stories and more up next. AT&T cell phone and landline customers in Skagway have been without service since early this morning. AT&T spokesman Andy Colley said via email this afternoon that when, quote, multiple cruise ships pull into port, they may interfere with our wireless network signal and affect coverage times. Colley says the company is currently investigating the problem and is working to return service to normal as soon as possible. He did not have any additional information. When contacted this morning, Alaska Power and Telephone engineers said the AT&T microwave transmission was down, affecting cell phones, landlines, and special circuits. We will update this story with more information from AT&T as we receive it. Filing periods are around the corner for October municipal elections in Haines and Skagway. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
In Skagway, residents will be voting for mayor, two assembly members, and two school board members. Mayor Mark Schaefer, assembly members Gary Hansen and Steve Burnham Jr., and school board members John Hischer and Stuart Brown's terms expire in 2015. All of them could run for their seats again. In Haines, voters will fill two seats on the borough assembly and three on the school board. Assembly seats currently occupied by Dave Berry Jr. and Joanne Waterman open this year. School board seats held by Sarah Chapel, Mike Wilson, and Tiffany DeWitt are also up for election. Wilson and DeWitt were appointed to their seats last December. All of those candidates also could run for re-election. The candidate filing period opens on August 3rd and closes August 17th in Skagway and August 20th in Haines. The deadline to register to vote is September 6th. Filing information can be found on the Haynesboro website or offices and at the Skagway Municipal Offices. Election day is Tuesday, October 6th. Skagway also has a special municipal election on the pending Tidelands lease scheduled for August 25th. Voters will decide whether to ratify a Tidelands lease between Skagway and the company that owns White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. It's a 35-year contract that delegates control, responsibility, and payments for Skagway's waterfront and harbor property. At the last borough assembly meeting, Assemblymember Gary Hansen proposed they reconsider the lease vote date and possibly schedule it to coincide with the October election. That proposal failed in a tie vote. The assembly could again consider changing the date at their August 6th meeting, but for now, the vote is scheduled for August 25th. Lease information can be found on the Skagway website. Reporting in Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Saturday is the deadline for locals planning to exhibit their arts and crafts at next week's Southeast Alaska State Fair. All Chilkat Valley participants can drop off their entries from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. Here's Fair Executive Director Jessica Edwards.
1 o'clock is the absolute deadline for entries that are non-perishable, and we begin the judging at 1:30.
Some artists and crafters have been planning all year for the big event, but what about those who hadn't thought about exhibiting before now?
A lot of people have things that they're working on anyway, and you can look around and say, oh, look, I took some great pictures this year and I have them, you know, matted, and I could totally submit these to the fair. We have everything from student projects to fine arts to creative writing and music. Whatever you've been working on, honestly, can really be submitted if it's ready to be displayed.
Edwards says residents from around Southeast have been shipping in their exhibits. Local participants should bring entries to Harriet Hall. For more information, call 766-2476 or visit seakfair.org to see the online exhibit guideline brochure. Teacher training usually means spending time in a library with textbooks and PowerPoints, but for 13 Alaska educators last week, it meant hopping on a helicopter, donning crampons and toting an ice axe on top of the Mendenhall Glacier as part of Discovery Southeast's teacher expedition. Lisa Fu was invited to tag along and has more on taking lessons from the glacier back to the classroom.
from the Juneau airport, less than 10 minutes fly by before the helicopter lands on the ice of the Mendenhall Glacier.
I look at this every day.
Bev Levine works at the glacier's visitor center.
Now I'm actually seeing it, touching it, being on it, and it's really cool and kind of surreal in a way.
The glacier expedition is just one of several teacher trips that Discovery Southeast offers in the summer. Teachers pay tuition to learn in an outdoor classroom for a week and can get continuing education credits from the University of Alaska Southeast. Richard Karstensen is one of the founders of the outdoor education nonprofit and an instructor.
This is our backyard in Juneau.
Of the 13 teachers on the glacier expedition, most are from Juneau.
And they're going to bring this back to their classes, even if they can't actually walk the kids around on the ice. It's going to just give them a much more full body understanding of what this glacier's doing.
Kathy Connor is a retired geology professor at UAS and another expedition instructor.
If you teach teachers, you teach the world. You know, if you just teach kids, that's a flash in the pan. They're the parade moving, but teachers are your pivot point. They're the railway station that all the trains come through.
During the expedition, teachers were supposed to spend 3 days on the Juneau ice field. Due to weather, ice time was limited to the day on the Mendenhall Glacier. Matt Potter says the days spent off the ice were just as rewarding. Potter is in the process of moving from Anchorage to Circle, where he'll be the lead teacher.
We hiked up somewhere and there was this gravel pile, and we had a bunch of 5 gallon buckets and we dumped water down it just to look at what the effect of concentrated runoff is, how it sorts out the rocks from the gravel, from the silt. It was a really good hands-on activity to show in real time the processes of erosion. And I think that's something that no matter how old you are, you're going to have fun dumping water down a hill, right?
But it's the glacier that draws the most awe.
There's just nowhere else on Earth like this. It's
Allie Smith teaches at Juneau's Auk Bay Elementary School.
And the one thing that I'm so amazed with today is just watching all the melt streams on the surface of the glacier. I always knew there was melting, but there's a lot more channels and dynamics to see up here than I realized.
Throughout the day, the instructors pose this question to the group of teachers.
Do you guys have any ideas on what you might take to your classrooms about the process that's happening out here?
The teachers have some ideas, like using algebra to predict snow accumulation and ablation cycles, nature walks in areas where the glacier once was, experiments that model how ice carves away at cliff sides. But they have weeks before school starts, so while they're on the glacier, they might as well goof off for a few minutes. Palmer teacher Nicholas Owens stands over a small glacial river.
Well, this is a very technical thing we're doing here. We're going to drop the orange in. We should probably measure something off our eyeball measurement, and then we're going to calculate how fast the water's flowing.
Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go. Oh, no.
Eddie out. It's in the eddy.
The orange is stuck in the eddy.
In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
KHNS News, I'm Greta Mart. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.